RPC Radio.
Hello and welcome to Taxing Matters, your one-stop audio shop for all things tax, brought to you by RPC. My name is Alexis Armitage, and I will be your guide as we explore the sometimes hostile and ever-changing landscape that is the world of tax law and tax disputes. Taxing Matters brings you a roadmap to guide you and your business through this labyrinth. In case any of you miss any crucial information or just want some bedtime reading, there is a full transcript of this and indeed every episode of Taxing Matters on our website at www.rpc.co.uk/taxingmatters. I am delighted to be joined today by the following double act from Old Square Tax Chambers. Firstly, Philip Simpson KC, who advises on all aspects of tax law and is ranked Band 1 for tax by Chambers and Partners, and is also recommended for tax by the Legal 500. Secondly, I am joined by Ben Simons, who is an experienced tax barrister with extensive experience in all areas of UK tax law. Ben advises on and undertakes litigation in relation to a diverse range of taxation matters. Today, Ben, Philip and I are going to be discussing the government's spring budget 2024, and in particular, the proposed changes that will affect non-UK domiciled individuals, often referred to as the non-dom regime. The UK tax system will switch from a domicile-based system of taxation for individuals to a residence-based regime. The government's spring budget therefore represents a major shake-up of the non-dom regime. Welcome, Philip and Ben, and thank you so much for joining me today. If we go to Ben first, what are the major changes that the government proposes to make?
Alexis, very broadly, there are three main themes. The first theme is that the UK tax system for the taxation of individuals will switch from a domicile basis to a residence basis, and that is a major change. The second theme is that there will be transitional relief for those currently non-domiciled individuals who are on the remittance basis. And the third theme is that the inheritance tax regime will also switch from a domicile basis of taxation to a residence basis of taxation.
Quite a lot of changes then. So can you tell me a bit more about the first theme, the government's proposed changes to change the basis of the taxation of individuals from domicile to residence? Should we go to you, Philip?
Loss of protection of income and gains made in offshore trusts. So they will essentially be treated the same way as any other foreign income and gains. In other words, someone who doesn't qualify for the new regime, in other words, someone that hasn't been non-resident for 10 years or is not within the first 4 years of UK residence, will pay UK income tax and capital gains tax on income and so on arising within the trust, like any other settler who puts assets into a trust. But if someone is within the new four-year regime, then the asset, the income and gains within the trust will be treated in exactly the same way as any other foreign income and gains of that person, and thus will be exempt from UK income and capital gains tax for those 4 years.
As Philip said, for new residents, that is, those taxpayers who have been non-resident for at least 10 tax years, if they come to the UK for their first 4 tax years, they can elect to opt into what is a temporary residence regime. They can elect that for the first 4 tax years, they won't be subject to tax on their foreign income and gains. We don't know exactly yet what foreign income and gains means because we don't have draft legislation. The individuals who do elect into this new regime will lose their entitlement to personal allowances and also the CGT annual exempt amount. There is also a modified overseas workday relief for these individuals who do qualify for the new big regime, as it's known, the new foreign income tax regime. For the first 3 years of residence, they'll be able to access overseas workday relief, which means they won't be subject to UK tax on earnings they earn from work performed outside the UK. They will still remain exempt from UK tax, even if they remit that income to the UK. Essentially, this is what is known as a temporary residence regime, and the purpose is to encourage entrepreneurs to move to the UK and provide some tax incentives for them, at least in the short term.
Yeah, so there's obviously lots of speculation about how many non-domiciled individuals currently within the UK are going to leave, or indeed how many individuals might be put off coming to the UK at all in the future, given that there are other jurisdictions with, in some respects, better tax systems for them. One would suppose the Treasury has at least done some analysis and concluded that any loss of tax because people leave will be more than compensated for by extra tax arising under the new regime by comparison with the existing one. There's lots of speculation by professional advisors. The London School of Economics has apparently conducted analysis that shows that of the 68,000 non-dons currently in the UK, 77 are going to leave. It's a somewhat precise number, but in any event, there's all sorts of different views about what's going to happen. However, there are some transitional concessions which will be built, and I think this is what we're going to move to now.
The new regime, as it applies to currently non-domiciled individuals, is a lot less generous than other regimes in Europe. For example, in Ireland, non-domiciliaries can claim the non-domiciled basis of taxation for as long as they like, as long as they don't remit their income and gains to Ireland. Italy has a non-domiciliary regime, and individuals there pay a flat tax on foreign income up to 100,000 euros. That is all the tax they pay, and they can claim this basis for up to 15 years. So the UK's new regime, superficially, it's not as competitive as other regimes in Europe from a tax point of view.
Yes, that's obviously one of the big uncertainties about these proposals, that by the time they're going to take effect, there is almost certainly going to be a government in the UK rather different approach to taxation. But in any event, the second transitional relief is that individuals who currently pay capital gains tax on a remittance basis will be able to rebase any foreign assets they sell to the 5th of April 2019. In other words, their base cost won't be their actual cost, but if they own those assets on 5th April 2019, will be the market value as at that date. So presumably somewhat higher base cost than otherwise, and consequent reduction in capital gains tax.
So that brings us nicely onto our second theme, as you said. What transitional concessions are available for currently domiciled individuals?
The government is proposing to provide transitional relief to individuals who currently claim the remittance basis under the non-domiciled regime for those individuals who won't qualify for the new exemption from foreign income and gains regime. For those individuals, for the first year, that's the 2025-2026 tax year, they will be exempt from tax on 50% of their foreign income and gains. Labour is actually threatening to repeal this exemption, and we'll discuss a little bit more about that later. The third major transitional relief is that business investment relief will continue to be available for qualifying investments made from 6 April 2025, where those investments are made using pre-5 April 2025 FIG income.
Yes, indeed. Some form of business investment relief is likely to stay, because certainly that's one of the things Labour have said they're looking at. Some form of rules to continue to encourage what would now be non-domiciled individuals to bring money into the UK for investment purposes. But anyway, the fourth transitional provision is what's called the Transitional Relief Facility. For the first 2 years of the new regime, so in other words, for tax year 25-26, tax year 26-27, individuals who are non-domiciled this year, 24-25, will be able to bring in foreign income and gains and be taxed at only 12%, even if they're outside the new regime. That might not apply to income and gains within trust structures, but that's something that we'll have to just look at when legislation eventually comes out.
I think there was a third and final thing. What changes is the government proposing for the inheritance tax regime?
Yeah, the Conservative Spring Budget 2024 proposes that the inheritance tax regime will switch from a domicile basis at present to a residence basis regime. The government has said that it will undertake a consultation in relation to this. Very broadly, the government proposes that an individual who has been resident in the UK for the last 10 tax years will be in scope for inheritance tax and will be subject to UK inheritance tax on their worldwide assets. And it will then take another 10 years of non-UK tax residence before that individual is out of scope.
Yes, that seems a very long period. After one leaves the UK, then still in year 10 of residence elsewhere, UK seems to want still to impose inheritance tax on a worldwide assets basis. And certainly that will require a lot of action by HMRC to follow up such individuals, and the extent to which any of that will actually be enforceable against non-UK assets, and indeed personal representatives who are non-UK resident, is questionable, not least given how few double taxation treaties the UK has entered into in relation to inheritance tax. Returning to the technical note, what the Treasury has said in that is that, of course, UK situated assets will remain within the scope of inheritance tax, regardless of the individual's residence. In any event, it's a significant change in the inheritance tax regime and the loss of a lot of benefits that non-domiciled individuals currently have.
There is one ray of light for non-domiciled individuals, and that is they have the opportunity prior to 6 April 2025 to put assets into an offshore trust that has been settled by a non-UK domiciled settlor. Those assets will be outside the new inheritance tax regime. Essentially, assets of a settlement that continue to meet the definition of excluded property under the current regime, they're often referred to as excluded property offshore trusts. These will be outside the scope of the new inheritance tax regime. The gift with reservation provisions in relation to excluded property will continue to apply. The property will remain excluded property even if the settlor retains a benefit from the trust assets.
Yes, yeah, so we'll certainly how this is going to work for individuals who are formerly domiciled residents and have returned to the UK is all very unclear. As I suppose the proposal generally at the moment it's somewhat vague because it's going to be subject to a consultation. We've been told in the budget notes, who knows what will come out of that. One point to mention is that the protections for excluded property, again, are subject to change of government. Labour has said that it will do something to abolish those rules, although, again, exactly what remains unclear. Now, I suppose we move on to what the more general effects of possible change of government might be.
Indeed, we may have a new Labour government by the end of the year. So if we do, how will this impact on the Conservative spring budget, do you think?
Essentially, the Conservatives have pinched the Labour Party's tax policies in relation to non-domiciled individuals. There will be an election certainly by January 2025. Well, there's speculation that there'll be an election in the autumn of 2024. It seems likely that there'll be a Labour Party victory at this stage.
Yes, that's certainly true given recent polls. I think one can say with almost certainty that if Labour gets in, then the non-domiciled regime will be abolished and replaced with something. One can say with equal certainty that what it's going to be replaced with will not be what the Conservatives put in their spring budget. General shape of it might be similar, in other words, some sort of beneficial regime for a number of years after someone comes to the UK. That seems to work reasonably well as a matter of policy to attract individuals still who are only going to be here for a short term. For example, Rachel Reeves has been quoted in the Financial Times as saying that if Labour were elected, they would remove the 50% transitional exemption on the taxation of remitted foreign income and gains for individuals who have so far benefited from the remittance regime. The one example of where the rules are likely to be different from what was in the budget.
So what tax planning tips do you have for taxpayers or any listeners out there who may be particularly affected by this? What can they do in response to the government's spring budget, do you think?
Tax planning is tricky for two reasons. The first is, as Philip said, there is the expectation a Labour government will be elected before January next year, and they may come up with a substantially different regime. It'll be broadly the same. It will retain benefits for temporary residents for a period of time, maybe 4 years, but to differentiate themselves from the Conservatives, they will come up with a different regime. So it is hard to start to make planning in the face of that uncertainty. It also remains to be seen whether any anti-forestalling measures will be introduced by either the current government or a potential Labour government. It helps to understand those anti-forestalling rules in order to make planning to account for that.
Some possible planning ideas, as Ben said, it's somewhat uncertain. I think the third reason is, of course, we don't actually have any legislation. And even if we did, it wouldn't be what was eventually enacted. Individuals who are currently non-domiciled and who are planning to continue to stay in the UK. If you have been a UK resident so long that you won't benefit from the proposed regime, in other words, you're outside your first 4 years of UK residence, then it might be worthwhile accelerating receipt of income or gains outside the UK. If not, then as matters stand, they will be charged UK tax when they arise from 6 April 2025 onwards. If they're realised before then they will remain subject to the remittance regime for periods, and possible to get a lower rate of tax if they're remitted within the first 2 years of the regime, and after that, if they stay outside the UK, then they will not come into UK tax at all. Second point, again, putting non-UK assets into offshore trusts before the regime comes into place, because that may or may not help with inheritance tax, depending on what the Labour government does, but at least it has the potential to put non-domiciled individuals in a better inheritance tax position than they would otherwise be. But actual specific planning ideas are very difficult to pin down at this stage.
Another alternative is for non-domiciled individuals to move to another jurisdiction. Many jurisdictions in Europe have favourable non-domiciliary regimes. Ireland and Italy are two examples. Switzerland is also often cited as an example of a country that offers non-domiciled individuals significant tax concessions. From a tax point of view, many of these jurisdictions will be more friendly than the UK. As Philip said, there is a London School of Economics study that suggests that only 77 individuals will move. It's a matter of speculation how many individuals will move, but this is another potential planning possibility.
Yes, there's always a contradiction between professional advisors of high net worth individuals who, on one hand, claim they're going to be leaving in their droves, but who, on the other hand, say that it's very unfair to make these changes because their clients have been in the UK for a long time, their children go to school here, they've got homes here, they've got societal ties here. It's somewhat less clear how all these are going to be so easily given up for tax benefit, but one can only speculate at this stage.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for your time and for joining me today. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for in this month's episode. Thank you again to Philip and Ben for today's podcast. As ever, a big thank you goes to Insider Productions and Andrew Waterson for the production, music and sound editing of this episode. A full transcript of this episode, together with any references, can be found on our website at www.rpc.co.uk/taxingmatters. And if you have any questions for me or for Andrew or any topics you'd like us to cover in a future episode, please do email us on taxingmatters@rpc.co.uk. We'd love to hear from you. If you like Taxing Matters, why not try RPC's other podcast offering, Insurance Covered, which looks at the inner workings of the insurance industry, hosted by the brilliant Peter Mansfield and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and our website. If you like this episode, please take a moment to rate, review and subscribe, and remember to tell a colleague about us. Thank you all for listening, and talk to you again soon.